All right. Don't have my pen this morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Monday, everybody. Today is March 2nd, 2026. And unless you have been under a rock since Friday night, you may have heard by now that war has broken out in the Middle East between the U.S., Israel, and Iran. Let's just start off real quick, guys. Being a moderator on this channel is a thankless job. And obviously, emotions running hot right now. We are not going to solve all the world's problems in the comments. It may come as a surprise to somebody. One more comment and we would have fixed that whole, you know, thousand-year-old conflict thing. So try to go easy on the moderators today. That being said, this is a finance channel, and so we are going to try to take as pragmatic an approach to this situation as possible. I have my own biases. I have my own opinions. You may have noticed I have something of a big mouth. I'm going to try to switch some of that off today and just be as factual as I can. It's kind of a tall order with what's going on today. So early Saturday morning, the missiles started flying. It should come as no surprise because we've watched forces build up in the Middle East for the better part of a month now. Hundreds of planes, tankers, ships, everything. We could see this was coming. The fog of war is still pretty thick right now. And I can tell you there is so much fake garbage going around on the internet right now. Be careful who and what you trust, especially in the age of AI. But a couple of things have been made abundantly clear based on the first few days. This is no Venezuela. It will not be over in a couple of hours. That being said, it could have been a whole hell of a lot worse. All right. So we had decapitation strikes were launched Saturday morning. In the first wave, it looks like the Ayatollah, the president, and the commander of the IRGC were all killed, along with apparently dozens of high-ranking government officials. The Ayatollah, I'm not going to last long, has taken over the country now. It's not really sure who is in charge and what is going on with the Iranian military, but it has been pretty clear that they have retaliated against freaking everybody. Drones and missiles have started hitting Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Israel, even Cyprus, parts of Greece have been hit by drones and missiles. They are retaliating against everybody. The Strait of Hormuz appears to be closed. There's conflicting information about did the Iranians close it or not. Oh, some government minister who, for all we know, is acting on dead man switch orders that were issued before the conflict began claims that the strait is not closed, but nobody's really sailing it right now. We're going to look at marine traffic. You can see what's going on there. Gold is higher. Silver is a little bit higher. I'm kind of surprised they're both not a lot higher on this. Oil making the biggest move it's made in years, but still only into the low 70s. If this conflict had happened in 2022, we would be talking about $300 oil right now. But as it happens, this has happened into a oversupplied glutton of an oil market where we've actually have several days worth of global oil supply sitting in tankers at sea already. And so that oversupplied market is for now cushioning the blow of the Strait of Hormuz, where 20% of the world's oil flows through, being closed. We'll see how long that can last. We've also got natural gas prices are spiking. A lot of people don't realize, but about 20% of the world's liquefied natural gas comes from Qatar, a plant that was just hit by Iranian drones, by the way, and has shut down. So we've got natural gas prices, particularly in Europe. They're on the rise this morning. Also worries that this could extend to the Suez Canal and the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. Anybody remember Houthi and the Blowfish down in Yemen? Well, they're yet to get involved, but they've told us they're going to. So global shipping is a mess right now. And if I might recommend a guy by the name of Sal Mercogliano, he runs a YouTube channel called What's Going On with Shipping and his Twitter feed. We're going to show it in a little bit. He has been fantastic over the last couple of days, because there is so much outright bullshit flooding around the internet. People are posting pictures of ships burning from World War II, claiming it was an American carrier that was just hit. Sal has done a very good job of sorting out fact from fiction over the last couple of days. And so rather than focus on all the BS artists and all the people who will do and say anything for clicks, we're going to highlight some of the people who appear to be doing it right here. So thank you, Sal, for your hard work over the weekend. So oil as a weapon. That is clearly the case here. This was the case with Venezuela. This is the case that's going on in Iran. We even had another Russian Shadow Fleet tanker was seized over the weekend. It was Belgian and French forces seized another Russian tanker. That story understandably got lost in the headline here, but guys, you can see energy is being used as a weapon even more so than it typically does here. Also, the next thing in line, if we're going to be using oil and gas as a weapon, what about rare earths? That is a very important category. We got an article in Bloomberg saying, yeah, the new rare earth supply, it's coming. It's on the way, probably by 2030, which could be too late, but it's not going to be enough. And it's already spoken for, meaning it's probably all going to go to the military. And by the way, the military, more missiles, more interceptors, more very precious resources that we already use too much of in the Red Sea conflict are being consumed right now. The bottleneck in U.S. defense production is going to be a topic of much consternation and debate over the coming days and weeks. They're going to be spending a lot of money to build up their defense infrastructure. If not now, even more so in the very near future. Speaking of defense infrastructure, Anthropic has been blacklisted by the U.S. government. Shifting gears a little bit here to what's going on in AI. On Friday, you know, or all last week, we were talking about how Anthropic was kind of like planting their feet, saying we don't want our large language model Claude being used for mass surveillance, and we don't want it being used for autonomous weapon systems. Anthropic, there was conflicting reports about them walking back some of those requirements over the course of the week. But on Friday, that ultimately culminated with the Defense Department blacklisting Anthropic, meaning no government agency or contractor doing business with the government is allowed to use Anthropic's models. Whoa, that's a big deal. That is a lot of business that Anthropic just watched. And then Sam Altman immediately signed a deal with the Pentagon claiming, okay, yeah, OpenAI will take that business. Remember those Super Bowl ads from Anthropic? You think Sam might have taken that personally? But yeah, OpenAI claims, oh, we cut a deal, and the Pentagon says they won't use it for surveillance and autonomous weapons. Really? Because they just blacklisted Anthropic, and you're telling me that as soon as they do that, they immediately give up their position and do exactly what Anthropic wanted to do, even though they just blacklisted them to sign a deal with OpenAI? Or maybe, just maybe, Sam Altman is a freaking liar and he's full of shit, and he's just saying whatever the hell he wants to say to save face while giving the Pentagon exactly what they want. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's Sam Altman is a freaking liar. We've also got cockroach news. Over the weekend, we talked with Lax Ganapathy from Unicus Research. Fantastic interview posted Saturday. I think it got lost in the Iran news, understandably. Market Financial Solutions was another cockroach. They failed in the UK. They've gone into bankruptcy because of a Bangladeshi mortgage scam. I kid you not. They were using COVID stimulus as a cover to put fraudulent mortgages in place in Bangladesh. By the way, in that story, they mentioned Century Group, another UK mortgage lender that failed at the end of January, even though nobody in any press anywhere mentioned it until Market Financial Solutions blew up. So we got two more cockroaches in the UK. But wait, there's more. Thanks to my friend Melody Wright, who tweeted over the weekend about Commonwealth Bank in Australia. A $1 billion mortgage fraud. Apparently, some hacking group in Australia was going around using artificial intelligence to mass submit fraudulent mortgage applications using stolen data, and they were able to get up to $1 billion in mortgages. Guys, there is more bad news in private credit and private lending. These stories are getting lost because of all the headlines of conflict here. But as we're watching stocks sell off, understand, some of this move is due to the ongoing blow up in private credit. And there's probably a lot of guys over at Blue Owl who are like, whew, thank God war broke out. Now people will stop talking about us. But that is still an ongoing thing here. More pain ahead for private credit companies, business development companies, the publicly traded ones. They're trading at just 77% of net asset value on average. That means the marks that private credit is using for the value of their debt are rather doo-doo because the public won't pay as much for those as they advertise. And finally, we've got former CEO of Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, is in the press here saying, get this, private credit has a reckoning coming because they're dumping all their toxic assets from Wall Street onto Main Street. In other words, the CEO or the former CEO of a G-SIB bank, one of the most financially connected guys in the world, he's only about a year behind me on this story. Well, we can't expect the CEOs of G-SIB banks to keep up with one-man YouTube operations operating out of their house in a corner of Southeast Pennsylvania. Robin, come on, right? These are busy guys. Guys, we obviously have a lot to talk about today. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. Also, in the links down below is a link to George Noble's Best Idea Stock Summit, where yours truly will be presenting on March 11th. Click on that link and you can get your tickets. And right now, the S&P 500 is down by 80 points, 1.15% lower. Off its lows of the morning, though, guys. I mean, we were down here lower by about 130, 140 points in the S&P earlier today. So it's not going well, but it could have been a whole hell of a lot worse. Same thing with the Dow, currently down 556 points, 1.13% lower after being as low, I think we were about 800 points lower at one point this morning. So it's not going well, but it could be worse. The NASDAQ is leading the way lower, down about 1.48%, off by 368 points, but again, off the lows of the morning. Now, look at the U.S. dollar surging here, 98.49, 88 basis points higher. I'm not quite sure what to make of the Dixie and the bond market today. We'll talk about bonds in a little bit. There's probably a little bit of sell America trade going on in the bond market, and yet we've got a higher dollar. We've got people scrambling for dollars. You've got a lot of oil that used to trade in yuan. See also Iran. See also Venezuela now trading for dollars. You've got a private credit blow up. You've got worries about U.S. government spending, I'm sure, are starting to be on the minds of Forex and bond traders this morning because the government's going to have to replace all these missiles they're using. Either way, the dollar is sharply higher this morning. That's going to put even more downward pressure on asset prices. Looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are moving higher this morning. 30-year Treasury, 4.667. That's higher by 3.5 points. The 10-year yield is back above 4%, 4.007, up by almost 5 basis points. The 2-year yield is up almost 6 points at 3.438, and the 1-month is unchanged at 3.688. Again, maybe some liquidity worries going on leading to these higher yields. Maybe some sell America going on. Maybe some private credit worries stressing liquidity. All of these things contributing to higher bond yields this morning. And the other interesting thing is we should be seeing something resembling a flight to safety today, but we're not seeing it in the bond markets. U.S. Treasuries are not functioning as a flight to safety. We would see these yields lower if that was the case. Looking over at Bitcoin, we are lower this morning, but not by much. $65,600, off by about 100 bucks. Now, Bitcoin is pretty interesting here because we initially sold off a little bit when the war began, and then Bitcoin rallied. It was actually positive for a short time over the weekend, now resumes selling off. If we do have this big risk-off thing going on because of the war, it's just not really showing in Bitcoin here. I was very surprised by the muted response to Bitcoin in Bitcoin markets to what happened in the Middle East. If this really is a big risk-off move, Bitcoin isn't showing it. Now, looking over at the markets here, now this is interesting. Gold is moving higher as expected, but I thought gold would go a little bit higher, and silver's even in the red here. Wow. All right, so metals are not really freaking out. And that's telling here. So again, fog of war. It's hard to really tell what's real and what's not, what's propaganda and what's factual. Go by what the financial markets are telling us right now. It's not going great, but it could be a whole hell of a lot worse. Spot gold is up $91, $5,368, 1.74% higher. April COMEX gold futures, 5386, higher by $138, 2.6%. Big move in gold here. All right, big move, but it could have been a lot bigger. If there was a stampede for the exits, we'd see gold up several hundred dollars here. Spot silver is red here. This is interesting, $92.40. Now, silver had a nice breakout in the chart last week. The silver chart looks great here, but still down $1.64. It was up a couple of bucks last night. We went as high as 96.41 overnight, now back to 92, 1.74% lower. May COMEX silver futures at 92.56, lower by 72 cents or 0.78%. I still like the shiny. We'll look at those charts in just a second here. Copper futures are lower by 1.4%. Platinum off by 2.5%. Palladium off by 2.2%. Crude oil, though, we do have a big move in oil. But like when you zoom out, it's not that big. $72.19 for WTI crude, higher by $5, 7.7%. Okay, that's a huge move, right? A $5 move in oil. Let's not downplay that. But the Strait of freaking Hormuz just got closed, and oil only moved $5. In 2022, this would have moved oil by $50 instantly, maybe even $100 within a couple of hours. So this just goes to show you how oversupplied the market really was that has been able to mostly absorb this. It won't last. You've got a lot of oil sitting in tankers right now, a lot of oil at sea. That oil is going to slowly be offloaded. And as it's offloaded, we're probably not going to have more Middle East oil coming in behind that. So if this conflict drags on, and right now it looks like it is going to drag on at least for a couple of days, maybe even weeks. Let's not talk about months yet. But if this conflict does drag on, we're going to see these prices continue to grind higher here. Also, Brent crude is up by 6.5%, or I'm sorry, 8.8%, $6.5. Brent crude at $79.30. And natural gas, we got a big move in natural gas as well, higher by 4% here. Let's just take a look at a couple of these charts, shall we? First of all, this silver chart looked really good yesterday, was looking really good overnight. We broke out above this previous high. We talked about that last week, the dead cat bounce after the big sell-off in January. We had our technical glitch right as we were threatening to break out. We did break out. We retested and we bounced. Everything was looking great. And now we've got silver is actually lower. Let's zoom in here. Lower sitting right on that now support line. Resistance becomes support. So watch this 92 level. Right now it's looking like it's not going to hold. I am very surprised to see silver lower here. The gold chart, meanwhile, gold chart looks phenomenal here. We had the big sell-off in January. We had the dead cat bounce in February 4th, all right? We came up, we flirted around that level. We broke out of that level in the late February, retested it, and started to move higher. Gold chart is looking great here, all right? I'm very surprised to see silver red here. I'm not surprised to see gold higher. I thought gold would be a lot higher, to be honest with you. $118, it's a big move, but we saw moves like this all through December and January, and now we've got a big global geopolitical CF, and gold's up $100, 2.25%, kind of a muted reaction, all right? The metals markets are not freaking out here. Everybody on Twitter's freaking out, but metals are like Tuesday. Now, oil futures, this is kind of interesting, all right? Let's zoom in on oil, all right? First of all, big move higher in oil today. We're looking at daily candles right now. A 7% move in WTI crude, all right? That's a big move. But also, look at this candle, all right? We're way off our lows. We were as high as $75, now we're down at 72. All right, so we've made a pretty big jump, and this is the biggest price increase in a couple of years. So a big move. Let's zoom out on the chart, though. We were higher than this level in oil just last June, all right? And just last June, it's not like there was any of the big geopolitical CFs going on. Zooming way out on the chart, let's put this in perspective. Here's where we were in 2022, immediately following the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We went up to, you know, in the 120s there. And then, you know, we were dumping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in the 120s. That brought oil down. This move where we are right now doesn't get us anywhere near those levels. So, you know, it goes to show you how much the oil market has changed in the last couple of years. If this event had happened in 2022, we would be talking about $300 oil right now. Instead, we're talking about 72. All right. Now, that's to say, if this conflict resolves quickly, we'll stay here. If this conflict drags on, we're going to see this chart continue to move higher. So, you know, hopefully this doesn't drag on because look, people are dying, and it's not just soldiers. Civilians are dying, so hopefully this doesn't drag on. Now, let's talk a little bit about this. This one in Bloomberg this morning, oil spikes as Middle East war all but halts Hormuz ship strait. I've never heard it called the Hormuz ship strait before. It's the Strait of Hormuz, but I digress. Oil surged the most in 4 years as tanker traffic all but halted through the Strait of Hormuz, and a big refinery in Saudi Arabia stopped. With an escalating conflict in the Middle East threatening supplies in one of the world's key producing regions. Brent futures traded 8% higher after topping $80 a barrel earlier. We're below those levels now. The engine of the global economy, diesel futures, jumped more than a fifth at one point. Bahrain said a ship was on fire in one of its ports, while at least four vessels were targeted on Sunday. Naval forces in the region described the threat as critical, and swaths of ship owners aren't transitioning. All right, so one of the things the Iranians did was they retaliated against commercial shipping. Several boats were hit over the weekend, so nobody is really eager to go transit that narrow strait of water. How quickly tanker traffic can normalize in Hormuz is critical to energy markets because the waterway handles a fifth of the world's oil and a similar portion of liquefied natural gas. JP Morgan Chase estimates that a halt lasting 25 days will fill producer nation storage tanks, forcing them to cut production. Insurance markets are already scrambling to work out how to price the risk of transiting. In one of the first big impacts on physical oil assets, Saudi Aramco halted operations at its Ras Tanura refinery after a drone strike in the area, according to people familiar with the matter, adding to a spike in fuel prices. Crude flows from the nearby port continued. The publisher of the Middle East's main oil benchmark said it won't accept bids and offers for more grades inside Hormuz, underscoring exactly how the conflict is upending the pricing of grades that are key to some of the world's biggest oil benchmarks. While the surge in crude prices was the biggest since early 2022, the path ahead is uncertain. That prices haven't rallied more is partly a result of an oil market that has been relatively well supplied over the past year or so. There were other supply risks on Monday, with loadings halted by a key Russian oil terminal after Ukrainian drone attacks. Oh, that's right, that other war that's going on. In reaction to the widening conflict, OPEC Plus agreed at a prearranged weekend meeting to raise quotas next month by 206,000 barrels a day. That's interesting. Maybe that's why oil's not freaking out here. OPEC agreed to raise the quota, although a lot of that OPEC oil is stuck inside the Persian Gulf, so I'm not sure how much effect that's going to have. The group, which includes Iran, as well as Saudi Arabia and Russia, had been expected to resume modest hikes before the outbreak of hostilities on Saturday. All right, so what we're looking at right now is marinetraffic.com. This is the boats, and we're looking at the Strait of Hormuz up north here. This is Iran. Right here, you've got Oman. Here's the United Arab Emirates, and this narrow stretch of water connecting the Indian Ocean and the Persian Gulf. This is the Strait of Hormuz. These red dots are tankers. The green dots, the green arrows, those are cargo containers, and you can see they're stacking up here. They're stacking up here. They're stacking up here. You don't see a lot of boats moving in this stretch of water right now. Nobody wants to be the next one to eat a drone. So, you know, there was mixed reports from the Iranians that first it was closed and then it was not closed. Nobody really knows who's even in charge in Iran right now. After the missiles started hitting boats, people said, okay, we have our answer. We're not going to transit the Strait of Hormuz. By the way, shout out to all those merchant mariners out there. You know, these are just guys who are moving cargo around the world, and now they're taking missiles in the front lines of a war that really has nothing to do with them. So, hey, thank you, merchant mariners, if you know any of them. And speaking of one, we talked about this guy before, Sal Mercogliano from What's Going On with Shipping on YouTube. This is him on Twitter, at Mercogliano S. Sal is a former merchant mariner, runs a great YouTube channel, and he has been fantastic over the last couple of days, dispelling some of the BS that's been flying around on Twitter. People are posting pictures of boats, and Sal has been very quick to say, this is a 9-year-old picture of this boat that hit this or had this happen on this day. So if you hear about anything going on the water, I would recommend before you repost it, before you go freak out over to try to trade it, check out Sal's feed. Chances are he's sprinkling some reality on top of the BS. Thank you, Sal, for your work over the weekend. Meanwhile, we've got in Bloomberg, the Suez Canal and the Red Sea. Oh, that's right, the Houthis, that other geopolitical conflict, that other commercial choke point. Hopes for Suez Canal revival are dashed by new Middle East conflict. Shippers are once again avoiding the Suez Canal as the U.S. and Israel are locked in a war with Iran, dashing hopes of an imminent revival for the key global trade conduit that's a pillar of the Egyptian economy. A.P. Moeller-Maersk, Hapag-Lloyd, and French's CMA have all said that they're suspending passage or routing services away from Suez, reflecting fears that Iranian-backed Yemeni rebels might resume attacks on vessels in the southern Red Sea, which the Houthis have said they were going to do, but they haven't done it yet. They just told us they were going to. Egyptian authorities had been cautiously eyeing a revival of this year after Maersk and other carriers had earlier signaled they'd fully return to the Suez shortcut between Asia and Europe. They've mostly avoided since late 2023. So it looks like that's going to be back. Ocean shipping rates are going to go sharply higher. All those cargo ships are going to have to sail around the Horn of Africa again. It's going to delay things. The ocean carriers are going to make bank as carrier rates go higher. Insurance costs are going to go higher. Things are probably going to get more expensive because of this. And it's not just oil, guys. Don't forget LNG, natural gas. Qatar stops LNG production at world's top plant after attack. This is the world's biggest LNG plant, and they just shut it down. Qatar Energy ceased liquefied natural gas production after military attacks on its Ras Laffan complex, the company said in a statement. Qatar Energy earlier said a drone had targeted a water tank at a power plant in the complex and another an energy facility in Ras Laffan, according to a statement by the defense ministry. Qatar supplies about 20% of the world's LNG. That's about 7% roughly of the world's total natural gas. The two biggest suppliers of LNG in the world are the U.S. and Australia. Qatar is third. So this is good business for Australia and the U.S., not so good for Qatar. You can already see that, by the way. This is Dutch TTF natural gas futures. We haven't looked at this one in a while. Big gap up on this daily candle. Natural gas prices in Europe have spiked by 46% overnight. That's a big move in natural gas prices. Now, that being said, natural gas prices started from a pretty low point. Let's zoom out on the chart. Yup, that's a big move, right? But we've spiked to where we were in 2024, all right? Sharply higher, big move, 46%. Let's not downplay that. But I guess I'm going to immediately downplay it, aren't I? Because that's what I just said I was going to do. Let's look at what Dutch TTF futures have done again. Again, in the context of what commodity prices did following the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Look at where TTF futures were up here. 346, I think this is euros per megawatt hour is the units here. 346 euros per megawatt hour in 2022 versus right now we have spiked 45% to 46 euros per megawatt hour. So again, big moves, but relative to where we are in 2022, again, be glad this is happening now and not in 2022. I mean, nobody's glad this is happening now, but if this had happened a few years ago, this would have been catastrophic. And that's not to say this can't still become catastrophic, but at the very least, it's happening at a time when the world is well supplied, where demand is relatively low because of other economic factors. It could have been a lot worse, guys. And also, more examples of oil being used as a weapon. Belgium seizes suspected Russian Shadow Fleet tanker. This story got lost in the weeds, but this has been an ongoing thing for the last couple of months as well. Russian tankers getting seized all over the world. This time, they're saying that the tanker Ethera was captured on Sunday by Belgian and French forces suspected of sailing under a false flag and false documents. Over the past few hours, our armed forces, with the support of the French defense, have boarded an oil tanker belonging to the Russian Shadow Fleet. Franken, this is some Belgian defense minister, said in an early morning post on X, the vessel is currently being escorted to the port of Zeebrugge, where it will be seized. So you've got that going on. And look, guys, the big, if you had to pick like winners and losers here, and nobody wins in this fight, but I can tell you China, this isn't going well for them. They lost their oil supply from Venezuela. Now there's a chance they're going to lose their oil supply from Iran, but also Europe. All right. Europe is a developed economy and is very much energy insecure. And we've got this one in Politico this morning. Europe prepares for higher energy prices after U.S. attack on Iran. The EU imports nearly all of its fossil fuels, leaving it vulnerable to geopolitical conflict. Europe will once again be paying the price for its energy stupidity. Europe is bracing for a surge in energy prices from a prolonged conflict in the Middle East that would put more pressure on the bloc's struggling economy and expose its near total reliance on foreign fossil fuels. Oil and gas shipments largely stopped flowing out of the Persian Gulf over the weekend following the U.S.-Israeli attacks on Iran. Amid reports, Iranian forces had warned ships against passing through the narrow Strait of Hormuz. That won't have an immediate impact on Europe, as most oil and gas that passes through the Strait of Hormuz, which accounts for around 20% of global oil trade, goes to Asia, but that won't leave Europe untouched because prices determine at the margin. Still choking supply will still push up global prices, analysts said, and that would have a direct effect on Europe. The Brent crude benchmark lurched up more than 9% in early trading Monday morning to nearly $80 a barrel, its highest level since June of last year. And by the way, I just got a text from Mish. When you get a text from Mish during the live stream, you know something's going up. He said, Silver just S'd itself. Look at that. Wow. Thank you, Mish, for the timely update. Big drop in the price of silver in just the last few minutes here. Now down $4. All right. If there is a flight to safety and a panic going on and everybody's going to real money, somebody forgot to tell the silver markets. $89. All right. So all that talk about the beautiful chart, well, we just failed our back test. And so technical breakdown in progress here, $88. I still like the shiny guys. But it just goes to show you, trying to trade around these events, it can be very unpredictable. Thank you, Mish, for the timely update. Hey, that other thing that we're probably going to be fighting over in the next couple of years, rare earths. Let's not forget about that, because as we choke off China's oil, they control our rare earth supply, and we need the rare earth supply to rebuild all the stuff that we're currently shooting at the Iranians. New rare earth supply falls short of rising global demand from EVs and defense, Bloomberg Intelligence says. A wave of new rare earth supply this decade won't be enough to meet rising global demand, setting the stage for shortages and stronger pricing power for dominant supplier China and a handful of producers outside of the Asian nation. That's according to a report from Bloomberg Intelligence. Governments around the world are pushing to loosen Beijing's dominance over rare earth minerals needed for magnets used in vehicles, consumer electronics, and defense technology. But even with billions of dollars in public funding for non-Chinese miners, supply deficits for critical minerals are still on the horizon, Bloomberg Intelligence said. The report predicts that China's dominance over the rare earth industry will slip by 2030. The country's market share of neodymium praseodymium, NdPr, pardon my pronunciation here, the country's market share of NdPr, a crucial rare earth element used in heavy-duty magnets, is expected to drop by 21 percentage points. Okay, they're going to lose market share by 2030, but growth outside China, which is forecast to lift NdPr supply by 41% by 2030, will largely be driven by mining operations in North America and Australia, such as assets owned by MP Materials and Lynas. Those are the companies that got government money. But still, that report notes that much of that new non-Chinese output is already committed. The Pentagon is buying it all before it even comes out of the ground, limiting flexibility in the market and reinforcing the likelihood of shortages. All right, now on to some non-Iran news. OpenAI strikes deal with Pentagon hours after rival Anthropic was blacklisted by Trump. This story broke late Friday. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said late Friday that his company has agreed to terms with the Department of Defense on the use of its artificial intelligence models shortly after President Trump said the government won't work with AI rival Anthropic. Tonight, we reached an agreement with the Department of War to deploy our models in their classified network, Altman wrote in a post on X. In all of our interactions, the DOW displayed a deep respect for safety and a desire to partner to achieve the best possible outcome. Altman's post lands on the end of a dramatic week for the AI industry, which has found itself at the center of a political debate surrounding how its models can be used. Earlier in the day, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth designated Anthropic a supply chain risk to national security after weeks of tense negotiations. The label's typically reserved for foreign adversaries, and it would force DoD vendors and contractors to certify that they don't use Anthropic's models. President Trump also directed every federal agency in the U.S. to immediately cease all of Anthropic's technology. Yikes. That is rough. Altman told employees in a Thursday memo that OpenAI shared the same red lines as Anthropic. He said in a post on Friday that the DoD had agreed to its restrictions. Two of our most important safety principles are prohibitions on domestic mass surveillance and human responsibility for the use of force, including for autonomous weapon systems, Altman wrote. The Department of War agrees with these principles, reflects them in law and policy, and we put them into our agreement. It's not immediately clear why the DoD agreed to accommodate OpenAI and not Anthropic, though government officials have for months criticized Anthropic for allegedly being overly concerned with AI safety. Guys, I think the simple answer here is Sam Altman, who is known to be a compulsive liar, according to people very close to him, his former bosses, his former board of directors. The guy lies through his teeth. Sam Altman's just lying. They gave the Department of War what they wanted, and he's posting on X that, oh, yeah, the Department of War agreed to exactly what Anthropic was asking for just a few hours after blacklisting Anthropic for asking for it. Oh, that makes total sense, Sam. Hey, by the way, on CNBC, why are you advertising CoreWeave again? Do people who are shopping for data centers, do they use CNBC to pick out their data centers, or just maybe they're advertising stock and not advertising data center services? But I digress. It always amazed me why CoreWeave always advertised on CNBC. Hey, how about those cockroaches? They're back. We got this one in 7 News Australia. Commonwealth Bank reports itself to police over a possible $1 billion mortgage fraud scam. If proven, it will be the largest fraud case against one of Australia's major banks. Man, we just got done talking about Market Financial Solutions and Century Group with Lox Ganapathy. Now we've got an Australian cockroach. How do you say cockroach in Australian? I don't know. Commonwealth Bank has reported itself to police over $1 billion worth of possible mortgage fraud, claiming there's been a spike in dodgy applications, with some documents believed to have been made with artificial intelligence. If proven, it will be the largest fraud case against one of Australia's major banks. Oh, yes. Agentic AI fraudulent mortgage scams. All right. Who had that one on their 2020s bingo? That is not going to help with the worries about private credit, of which there are ample. Private credit stocks signal more pain is coming, according to Credit Weekly. Falling income, slashed dividends, and loan markdowns, the results from some of the most transparent private credit funds this week, have done little to soothe investors' concerns about cockroaches in the market. Shares in the funds known as business development companies, or BDCs, broadly extended losses and are now down more than 11.5% this year, even including dividends. BlackRock's TCP Capital Corp closed at a record low on Friday. Carlyle's Secured Lending Inc. fell to its lowest since the pandemic. Listed Business Development Corp shares are trading around 77% of the value of their net assets as of Friday's close. That's according to analysts from KBW Research after about a dozen of the firms posted results. All right, so that's important there. These private credit firms, the ones that are publicly traded, they're selling for 77% of what these private credit firms advertise their loans are worth. Nobody is willing to pay face value because these marks are bullshit. And this is the same stuff in a slightly different vintage that's being sold into our 401ks and our IRAs right now. While they tell us, oh, don't worry, these are great assets and the LTVs are low. Listed BDCs typically disclose every single loan on their books, making them much more transparent than other kinds of direct lending funds in the $1.8 trillion private credit space. But even if the loans are disclosed, BDCs have some leeway as to when they recognize losses. In other words, they lie. And different funds can record the same loans at different values. That's important there, guys. The same loans or pieces of the same loans sitting in two different funds, trading at two different values, because they just make it up. Put differently, these companies can sometimes delay taking losses on loans. Put differentlier, they lie. Adding to the difficulty for BDC lenders, interest on their loans is under pressure as broader rates decline, and the firm's funding costs could rise as debt investors demand a higher premium for their bonds. That's threatening profits from both sides, potentially boosting costs while income declines. So that's important, these BDC companies. It's getting more expensive for them to borrow by issuing bonds, and then the loans that they bought with those bonds they already issued, those are going down in value. So business development companies are getting squeezed on both ends here. The possible rise in funding costs was visible this week. The average risk premium or spread on a business development company note climbed 224 basis points as of Thursday's close, having widened by around 45 basis points this year. In contrast, the average high-grade U.S. corporate bond spread widened by just 4 basis points this year through Thursday. Guys, private credit is in a bad way here. And again, with everything going on with the sell-off in stocks and the move in interest rates and the dollar today, it is kind of hard to tell how much of this is Iran, obviously a lot of it, how much of it is the ongoing meltdown in private credit. Both are happening simultaneously. And by the way, we got this one from Lloyd Blankfein. Ex-Goldman CEO fears a reckoning as private credit chases Main Street. Oh, that thing I've been warning about all freaking year. Now Lloyd Blankfein is giving the same warning. Welcome to the party, pal. Lloyd Blankfein, who led Goldman Sachs through the 2008 financial crisis, is now ringing alarm bells as Wall Street steers cash from U.S. savers into its latest lending binge, private credit. The financial system appears to be inching toward another potential catastrophe, with everyday Americans exposed to some of the losses Goldman's former longtime chief executive officer said in an interview with David Gura for Bloomberg News' Big Take podcast. The asset at issue can be hard to analyze, may feature hidden leverage, and can become tough to sell. One has to worry about opaque assets where there's illiquidity, he said in an interview on Sunday. We're getting close to the end of the late stages of cycles on this, and we're due for a kind of reckoning. Blankfein, now 71, criticized financial firms, which have reaped riches for years from private investments, for seeking to give retail investors access to those holdings precisely at a time when they're more likely to blow up. Last year, President Donald Trump signed an executive order that will ease the path to putting assets, including private credit and private equity, into 401ks. And I slammed the president for that decision, despite my obvious political biases, which you guys probably noticed. I did not like that decision, and I have not been quiet about it. And I think that was a major, major financial and political blunder that will come back to haunt the president big time in the midterms. And now, finally, a year later, we've got this G-SIB Bank CEO saying exactly what I've been pounding the table over and over on for the last year, to the point I'm sure I sound like a broken record to some of you guys, but I'm not going to shut up about it because they're still doing it. And, well, congratulations, Lloyd Blankfein, former CEO of Goldman Sachs. You're only a year behind nobody special. And I just want to say thank you very much to the Beekeeper, who is a new member. Welcome, Beekeeper, to the Melonheads. Thank you for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much. My man Armando, what's going on, Armando? He says $1 billion no longer means anything. Billion is the new 10, isn't it, in terms of Wall Street? Billions are being lost every day. Supply chain infrastructure, commerce, stock markets, oil production. Yeah, what's a few trillion among friends? Look, $1 billion in terms of Australian banks, though, that is a big number. By U.S. standards, where we throw around trillions like arbitrarily, it seems like a small number. But that, I think this comment is in regards to that Australian bank situation. That is a massive bank fraud. And let's also keep in mind, $1 billion, that is like the combined life's work of 1,000 of the average people in the United States. So that going up in smoke, that destroys lives. That's a lot of misery being spread around. So I agree we throw around trillions left and right, but let's not downplay just how much that money is. And anybody who thinks $1 billion isn't a lot of money, feel free to give me $1 billion. I'll be happy to take it off your hands. I mean, it's only $1 billion. Thanks, Armando, for supporting the channel. Tree Service Oregon. Okay, I said that right. I think I got that right. Tree Service Oregon. Thank you very much, sir, for becoming a new YouTube member. I appreciate the support of the channel. Be safe, by the way. Guys who work on trees, that is a dangerous living. I've done some dangerous work myself in the past, so I know you guys working in the timber industry or even tree servicers, your fatalities per 100,000 man hours is the only thing that even comes close to commercial fishermen. So please be safe on the job, sir, and thank you for supporting the channel. Armando Reyes again says no amount of and destruction is worth it from a financial aspect, not one life. No more wars. America's broke. Fix our economy. No one wants this. Yeah, you know, this is like, I guess I'm going to break some of my own pledges here. Like, okay, we started it. That sucks. And then Iran retaliated against freaking everybody. That sucks. Like, there is nothing good coming out of this. That being said, I'm not going to miss the Ayatollah of stop, drop, and roll. Bye-bye. See you later. Enjoy paradise or whatever you think you got coming your way, you murderous bastard. I will not miss the Ayatollah, not one bit. And no, I don't want him back. You know, it kind of reminds me of that line from the movie Patton, when General Montgomery wires General Patton as they're rolling into the city of Palermo. And he says, hey, this is a reminder. You are not to take Palermo. And Patton responds, you know, radio headquarters, ask them if they want me to give it back. All right. You know, the time to debate the decision to go, it's behind us now. I don't want the Ayatollah back. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel. What does current affairs mean for BRICS? BRICS lost Venezuelan oil, and BRICS is probably going to lose Iranian oil right now. So that is a lot of oil that will eventually resume trading in U.S. dollars instead of renminbi. That is not good for BRICS. Mr. Putin is running out of friends very quickly here. Now there may be some blowback down the line, right? Usually the seeds of the next crisis are planted during the current crisis, And we saw that in the 80s, which gave way to a lot of the terrorism of the early 2000s, which led us to where we are now. So, you know, maybe the knock-on effects, who knows what that's going to be. Could that eventually bolster BRICS? Maybe. But in the short term, this is not good at all for BRICS. And I have never really been that big of a BRICS guy, to be honest with you, Armando. I think that's always been blown out of proportion. I think they would have done it by now if they could have. Thanks again, Armando. And thank you, Bob89, who says, Plunge Protection Team dabbling in markets, perhaps. What do we got? We got buyers showing up at the open here. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Buyers at the open. We're off our lows. Still in the red. NASDAQ still down 115 points. Dow still down 300. S&P's off by 33. We definitely got some dip buyers here. So Mr. Market is betting right now, or telling us, that they don't think this conflict is going to last too long. I don't know if they're right about that, but you know, Mr. Market has better access to information than I do. So maybe, just maybe, what we're all seeing on social media isn't the best reflection of what's actually happening on the ground. Just be careful, guys, who you believe and what you repost. Don't add to the fake BS that's flying around. And I'm not picking on you here, Bob. I'm not saying you did that. I'm just going off on tangents. But yeah, the Plunge Protection Team, they appear to be on the job today. Thank you, Bob, for supporting the channel. Armando's back again, says, how much silver is being destroyed on ships, jets, radars, drones, warheads, and missiles, and other equipment? Any silver used in refineries? I'm not really that big on any of those things. Yeah, silver is in all those things. Let me just warn you guys again, speaking of like fake stuff that goes around on the internet, and I'm not picking on you here, Armando, but I saw a guy who works in the precious metals industry who is smart enough and knowledgeable enough to know better, posted that BS talking point about there's 500 ounces of silver in every Tomahawk cruise missile. No, there is not. All right, there is 500 ounces of silver is incredibly heavy. You would not put that much silver in a freaking Tomahawk. The thing would nosedive as soon as you launch it right into the freaking drink. There is some silver used in the radar seekers, and there's some silver used in the batteries on Tomahawks, but it's a negligible amount compared to the global market. What's happening in like the missiles being fired is not going to affect the supply side of the silver debate. All right. Geopolitical risk could affect silver markets, right? Flights to safety could affect silver markets. Worries about the health of the global economy because of the price of oil and natural gas could affect silver markets. The number of Tomahawk cruise missiles being fired is irrelevant. Honestly, guys, if you see anybody posting that 500 ounce of silver in a Tomahawk cruise missile talking point, it's probably somebody that your feed could do without. Let me just, and that guy, I'm not going to use your name, that guy who posted that shit yesterday, you know better, but you're trying to sell some metal by spreading what you know is deliberately false information. That's some bullshit. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel. Snowshoe Leprechaun. All right, there's the visual. Snowshoe Leprechaun says, OpenAI have already been caught providing your KYC info and searches to ICE and will also report to FinCEN. Why does the government need a FedRAMP authorized system endpoint built into ChatGPT? I don't know what a FedRAMP authorized system is, to be honest with you. I can't comment on that specifically. The Pentagon does not want Silicon Valley to have a kill switch on their weapon systems. All right, I can understand that. At the same time, I do not want the Pentagon to have mass surveillance on me. That being said, hi, Pentagon. I'm sure you're listening through any number of multiple electronic devices in my vicinity right now. And if you want to know how the Pentagon, or if you want to let the Pentagon know how you feel, just send yourself a text because they read everything. So the Pentagon already has mass surveillance. I think that's one thing we learned over the last few years. Autonomous weapon systems taking human decision-making out of the kill chain. That's a perfectly legitimate philosophical debate that could be had out. Arguments to be made on both sides. That's all. And the one thing I can tell you is I sure as shit don't trust Sam Altman or Dario Amodi. Not even a little bit. I don't trust the Pentagon. I don't trust the politicians. I don't trust Silicon Valley either. They're insistent on making this effing thing for some reason. Who gets to use it? Who knows? It's just the whole thing sucks. Thank you, Snowshoe Leprechaun, for supporting the channel. SHSK3P. I'm not sure what's that check. I'm not sure what that currency is, but thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. He says, what do you think will Iran war take few weeks, few months, or more? And if it takes more time, will China try something? I would say it's perfect window for China and Taiwan. USA is attacking too many fronts. EU is helping Ukraine. All right, so China will go in 2027. I am increasingly convinced of that. We will have months and months of notice before China moves on Taiwan. They won't be able to put that much men and material in place to do an invasion that will be a surprise. So much like we saw this conflict in Iran coming, because for the last month we had been pre-positioning missiles and ships and fighters and troops, we'll see the same thing with China. It will take them months to build up forces along their coast for that attack. So they, I don't think China goes and launches this thing like next week or next month. I still think next year. We will be hard-pressed to replace the munitions we're using right now, and we're going to need those if and when that happens, should we decide to get involved. And again, I hope none of this happens, but I'm also a realist. It's probably going to. So let's see. Let me. Do I think this will take weeks or months? A lot of that, I think, depends on the regular Iranian army. All right. The IRGC is about half of the Iranian military. The IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, they are handpicked fanatics who will fight to the last man. The regular Iranian army is conscripts, just guys taken off the street and put in uniform. Who do those guys side with? Does the regular army side with the protesters who have been trying to overthrow the regime since years? Or do they side with the fanatics in the IRGC? Right. So like best case scenario for a quick end of the war is the Iranian military sides with the protesters and they very rapidly put down the IRGC and a new regime takes over in Iran. That's not a very realistic scenario. All right. The IRGC is going to go down swinging to the last man. So like even in a good case scenario, Iran could descend into another Syria, another failed state with a civil war between these two factions, with, you know, Western air power supporting the one faction and the others fighting a guerrilla war. I would say watch Karg Island. We still haven't hit Karg Island, which is where most of Iran's oil flows out of. So if we hit Karg Island, it means like we have given up on propping up whatever Iranian regime comes in behind the Ayatollahs. Or if the IRGC hits Karg Island, that's another scenario. They might scuttle their own ship by blowing up Karg Island to make sure that the government that overthrows them doesn't have access to the oil. Either way, if you want to know, like, watch that island there. That'll tell you how bad things are getting in Iran. As far as weeks or months, I think weeks at least. Let's hope it's not months. Thank you, SHS, for supporting the channel. KDM28 says, is silver dropping because Fed end of month contracts rolled and expired without issue? No, I don't think it's the February issue. The thing about like the COMEX and the, oh, there's still this many outstanding open interests. Bob Coleman did a pretty good take on that during my spaces with George Noble yesterday, that they all kind of rolled over and that there's always some a-hole calling for $500 silver next week because of some open interest thing going on in the COMEX. And it never freaking happens. And people always buy into it. And people always send it to me and say, did you see this, Jack? Yes, I saw it. I tune that crap out. I really do, because it never freaking happens. That being said, why is silver selling off here? That's a good point. I don't know. Technical breakdown, rejection of that 92 level. The market could be telling us we don't really think this thing in Iran is as big as some people are fearing. Maybe the market is telling us worries about the global economy, which could affect silver demand because silver is an industrial metal, and that's taking it off. Also, any prospects for a Fed rate cut anytime soon? Probably out the window right now. Silver may not be reacting very well to that. Any number of reasons? Let's just check in on the chart real quick and see where we're at. Silver is currently at 89.81, still about where it was, down $3.94. So a lot could be going on in silver markets right now, KDM. But either way, I still like the shiny. And thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Hunt and cover. What's going on, brother? He says, setting up the Travis toll booth, Armando's helping too. Here he comes. Gee, we don't have one coming up from Real Estate Mindset next, do we? Thank you, Hunt and cover. Appreciate the laugh, sir. Oh, shocking turn of events. Hunt and cover, FTW. There's my boy, Travis. You bonkers, SOBU. Thank you for supporting the channel. Check out Real Estate Mindset while you're at it, guys. Shout out to you, brother. Thank you, Travis, for the support. Zeeble Fritz, member for 21 months, he said, I heard yen carry trade is affected by Iran. What say you? There's a couple of guys, some pretty big followings, who some people see the yen carry trade hiding behind every bush. The yen carry trade is a risk. We did see some strengthening. Let me verify this. Let me bring up the USD-JPY chart real quick before I... Hey, where's my USD-JPY chart? Come on. You're supposed to like automatically populate. There we go. All right. USD-JPY is a lot higher today. So right now the yen is weakening against the dollar. or at least it has in the last hour. Let's look at daily candles. Yeah, the yen is weakening against the dollar right now. USD JPY is moving higher. So I say the yen carry trade is not unwinding due to Iran right now. Otherwise, the yen USD JPY chart would be heading in the other direction. We would see a rapid strengthening of the yen as people sell U.S. assets to raise dollars and then convert back into yen to cover their debts over in Japan. That's not happening. The opposite is happening at the moment. Thank you, Zeeble Fritz, for supporting the channel. Armando is back again, says, don't buy into the fraud, corruption, deception, manipulation, and skullduggery. I like that last word. That one paints a picture. The stock market is rigged. They don't determine the wealth of silver. You know, I often flag my shiny bar here, and I had this conversation with a couple of folks over the weekend. My physical stack is a savings account. It's not a trade. You shouldn't trade this. If you trade this, you're just eating premiums, which are extensive, by the way, on both sides of the trade. You know, every couple of years, if you want to do the gold to silver ratio trade, sure, that works. You know, you can do that. But if you're buying this thinking you're going to sell it next week when the price of silver goes up, you will lose money every freaking time. This is a savings vehicle for the long term. If you want to trade silver, there's mining stocks, there's ETFs, there's options trades. There's more risk over there, all right? And don't wait. If you don't know what you're doing, don't go into that space because you're going to lose money. Do your research first. But understand the difference between a savings and a trade. So, like, you know, when it comes to my stack, yes, I agree wholeheartedly. That being said, I'm looking at this move lower in silver today, this technical breakdown. I'm not really buying it. I'm going to do a little bit more research, but I'm thinking about putting some levered bets on long silver back on after watching that price action this morning. I think silver should be a little bit higher here. So thanks again, Armando, for supporting the channel, sir. Pasta Man, thank you, sir. He says, hey, nice to know everything in Mexico is fixed. Yeah. Remember that thing? By the way, what happened to those drone lasers that have proven rather effective along the Mexican border? Are any of those over in the Middle East right now? Let's fire the freaking lasers. Give me some sharks with freaking laser beams on their head. That's right. The whole Mexico thing. By the way, El Mencho, Maduro, the Ayatollah, who are dead, dying, or disappeared people who were all friendly with the Dragon Bear Axis, if you will. Friends of the Dragon Bear are dropping like flies right now. And I think all of these things are related. Thank you for the reminder, Pasta Man. That's a good point. I forgot all about El Mencho. Madison Hype says, what does Janet Yellen think about war with Iran? That is very interesting. Secretary Yellen, we have a question about war with Iran. What do you think?
Well, Jack, I would just like to remind everybody that while I was in charge, we eased up on the sanctions of Iran. And so all those missiles and drones that are currently landing on the heads of people in every freaking country in the Middle East were paid for by us buying the oil, by us allowing that oil to be bought. And before that, back when I was at the Federal Reserve, I'm sure I had some hand in helping with those pallets full of cash that were delivered by our Air Force directly into Iran. And I'm sure that's the same crap that's landing on our heads right now.
Wow. So are you saying actions have consequences, Secretary Yellen? That's interesting. So I have to wonder if we're right now reaping the whirlwind from the pallets of cash and from the easing of sanctions to allow them to trade more oil, to allow them to pay for more missiles. What will be the knock-on effects of our current blowing things to smithereens? What next generation dictator are we creating now? I guess we'll just have to stay tuned to find out what that's going to look like in another generation or two. Actions have consequences, guys. That works both ways. Thank you, Madison Hypes, for supporting the channel. Thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Again, guys, be careful. Don't propagate the BS, all the fake shit that's going around right now. Don't forget that like button also. Thank you very much for the super chats. Thank you to my Patreon supporters, YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. All those good links that are down below, directly below the link to the Best Stock Ideas Summit with George Noble. Don't forget to get your tickets from that. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, until next time, live small and dream big. We'll